Father God, as we think of this wonderful psalm now, I pray that you would teach us more about your character and how we might know your saving action in our lives. Help us to listen well to your voice and what you would say to us through your word this morning. Amen. Well, today we continue our summer sermon series on the Psalms, and this morning we're thinking about Psalm 18, particularly verses 1 to 19. And I plan to give a bit of background to this to the psalm and context to the psalm before moving on to say why I've chosen it. I'm not quite sure whether we've got Bibles back in church, because it would, of course, be really helpful to have the psalm in front of you. Maybe you've got it. Maybe you've got a Bible with you, or it's maybe on your phone. If not, then I'd really encourage you to, when you get home today, to read this psalm, have a good look at this psalm and these first 18 verses. Obviously, those of you at home, you can easily reach for a Bible as we look at this psalm together now. Psalm 18, it's a song of praise inspired by David's lived experience of God's intervention and rescue. And this praise song, it appears not only here in the Psalms, but it appears also towards the end of the second book of Samuel in chapter 22. And seemingly these are words which are written towards the end of David's life, and it reveals him looking back on God's faithful action with thanksgiving. It's a thanksgiving which centres on a particular time when David experienced God's dramatic intervention in response to that cry for help which we read in verse 6. And this kind of moment of rescue, it's identified for us in the introduction to Psalm 18. At the very start it says, when God delivered him, that's David, from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, Saul being Israel's first king. And we read about those events, the kind of background to the psalm, in the first book of Samuel from around chapter 19 onwards. But given that this praise song is written towards the end of David's life, it's written quite a while after the events alluded to in the psalm, it serves as a testimony, not just to a one-off event in his life, but to a lifelong awareness that God has acted in extraordinary and decisive ways throughout his life, to the benefit of not just himself, obviously, but to the people of Israel for whom David's reign was really key. And it's a psalm which is really rich in imagery. In the opening three verses, God is described as rock, fortress, shield, stronghold. And these are words which are used to frequently describe God in the Psalms, and they're often used quite interchangeably with one another. That word rock, it suggests all sorts of things to us, solid ground on which to build, unwavering strength. But in the language of the Psalms, it refers to a place of safety and refuge and shelter, to those remote and inaccessible places in the mountains or desert which provide a place of hiding or defense for animals or for those, in David's case, on the run. And God used these natural defences to help David hide from the murderous Saul. In the first book of Samuel, we read that David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. But the king is in no doubt who his ultimate refuge. He's in no doubt that God himself is his ultimate refuge. It's God himself who is his rock, fortress, shield and stronghold. God, who is both his hiding place and his defence, not just from the assault of his enemies, but from all that threatens his physical and his spiritual well-being. Verses 4 to 5, they graphically describe how David feels, his experience. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. David stands in mortal danger, and there appears no means of escape. Death is not just a possible outcome, but appears to have the king already in its grip. The waves do not just lap about his feet, but they're right up to his neck. He is already drowning and gasping for air. David cries out for help. He is heard, and the response described is dramatic. And what follows in verses 7 to 15 is a wonderfully vivid picture of David's experience of being rescued. He paints a really powerful and rich image of God, whose glory and majesty is so dazzling that it must be cloaked in darkness, whose coming causes the shaking of the earth's foundations and is heralded by great flashes of lightning, whose throne is carried by cherubim and whose chariot is the wind. God's intervention into David's troubles is described in language which recalls the deliverance of the Hebrew slaves from the Egyptians through the Red Sea, verses 13 to 15. The Lord thundered from the heavens. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, Lord. And yet, for all the really powerful imagery and language that David uses around God's intervention, the moment of actual rescue is surprisingly intimate. God reaching down and taking David by the hand, pulling him out of danger and bringing him into a spacious place. That's verse 19, a spacious place. And that word translated spacious place means roomy. It's a lovely word which speaks of openness and freedom, of airiness, expansive skies. And it's a description which stands in really stark contrast, if you notice, to the words which are used about David's situation before God's intervention. Words which speak of him being constrained and imprisoned, entangled, coiled, snared. So why did I choose this psalm? Well, to be honest, this psalm chose me. I can't remember the exact occasion, but it's about a year ago when this psalm, it just has seemed to appear out of nowhere. Have you had that experience of stumbling over a passage of scripture? I say stumbling, but we all know that it's the Holy Spirit, of kind of stumbling upon a part of scripture which you can't really remember reading before. I've read this psalm before, but certainly last year it was like coming across it for the first time. And since then, I've returned to it again and again, captivated by its graphic description of the human condition in those early verses of being coiled and ensnared and overwhelmed, captivated by its the majesty and the mystery of David's vision of God, and most especially by that extraordinarily tender image of God reaching down and taking David by the hand, pulling him out of his troubles and setting him in a spacious place. And I just love that phrase, or those words, spacious place. He brought me out into a spacious place. And I had a real picture of what that means the other day when we took Pip, our dog, for a walk on Mask Beach. The beach is Pip's real happy place. And as we let him off the lead, he rushes onto the beach. And you'll know at that part how, if the tide's out, how deep the beach is, how spacious it is. And as he was released from the constraint of the lead, he starts running round and round in great glorious circles in the spacious place of the sand. He brought me out into a spacious place, a place where we can breathe, not just physically breathe, but emotionally and spiritually breathe, where we're free and liberated from the things which bind and constrain us, which squash us as people. It speaks to me of light, of peace, of endless possibilities. The words and the images of this psalm, they provide much for us to savour and meditate upon. God as our rock, fortress, shield, stronghold. But it is the really big picture stuff, the drama being enacted by this psalm, which really holds me. It's that image of an awesome and a holy God parting the heavens, riding on the wind, reaching down to take David's hand, which really speaks to me. Because in this dramatic word picture that David paints is the gospel. That the God who made the world, who sits enthroned amongst the cherubim, who has power over all the elements, this same God parts the heavens, steps into our world in the person of Jesus Christ, takes us by the hand and lifts us into a spacious place. Of course, in the psalm, David is speaking of his own experience of divine intervention and help, God's rescue of him at a particular time and place. But through his words, we see a foreshadowing of God's great rescue of us through cross and resurrection. For cross and resurrection, they free us from the cords of death, the torrents of destruction, the cords of the grave and snares of death, which are described early on in the psalm, and they set us in that spacious place of verse 19, a place of freedom, forgiveness, light, love, and life everlasting. Here is the miracle and the wonder of the incarnation. That is God in flesh, inked out for us in the words of this wonderful praise poem. A powerful and awesome God, one who rides the cherubim and soars on the wings of the wind, whose presence is so dazzling that he must wear darkness as a cloak, who steps down from his heavenly throne to be born in a manger, nailed to a cross, buried in a tomb, so that he might reach out with the hand of life through the power of his resurrection. Psalm 18 is a script worthy of any Peter Jackson movie. That's the director of the three Lord of the Rings films, a bit of which we saw earlier. And that clip, it shows the dramatic climax of Frodo and Sam's quest to throw the ring into the fires of Mount Doom, and it powerfully illustrates for me the strong arm of rescue which reaches down to those who call out to Jesus in the face of death and destruction. But whilst this psalm points beyond David's own lived experience and forwards to that which God had planned in Jesus, we must not forget that David's lived experience also points to the one who has power to intervene and help us in our present difficulties. David's testimony offers hope and strength to all of us when life's problems threaten to overwhelm. For David, God's rescue came through the natural hiding places offered by the wilderness. And how many of us can recall occasions when God has used the natural order of things to help us, whether that be through the practical help and support of others, an unforeseen change in our circumstances, so-called coincidences and unexplained happenings, finding an inner strength that we didn't know that we had, or discovering a peace that we can't explain, feeling a heaviness of our heart lift. We don't always recognize God's hand at work at the time, but when we look back, like David does in this psalm, we often see more clearly how God has intervened to help us and bring us to a spacious place. Yes, God can dramatically and decisively intervene, but equally, I would say it is more usual for God's strong arm of rescue to be felt in subtle and hidden ways. Perhaps you can identify with the distress that David expresses in this psalm, that like him, you feel overwhelmed by your problems. If that's you, then be encouraged, like David, to cry out to God. Know that the same God who heard David hears you. That the same God who David describes as enthroned in glory amongst the cherubim is the one who meets you and reaches out to you in the person of Jesus Christ. That the God who has power over the elements, the wind and dark, lightning and hail, has power to help you in your present difficulties. That as God acted to rescue David, so he will act to rescue you, whether that be in a bold and dramatic fashion or through the more subtle weaving of circumstances in the ebb and flow of life. How God will act cannot be determined, but that he will act is certain. Firmly take hold of the God who takes hold of you, who will either deliver you out of your troubles or give you the strength and courage you need to face them, who promises to bring you to a spacious place, a place where we need no longer be trapped or overwhelmed by our fears and worries. Trust in what God has already done for you in Jesus Christ, guaranteeing your eternal place in his spacious light and love-filled kingdom, that eternal home of many rooms, as described in John's Gospel. Dwell in this psalm and savor it. Imagine God parting the heavens. Pray with that image of God parting the heavens and reaching down to lift you out into that spacious place. Not just in the future, but in the present, whatever the present is for you at the moment, in the daily reality of life, where we all need to know the divine hand lifting us up clear of things which threaten to overwhelm us. Amen.